never seen the sky before. The world is seen differently because of love. By the end of the film, we learn that all of this has constituted a kind of education. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. On the one hand, this seems to be the very antithesis of the kingdom of God, a realm of prostitutes and addicted artists given over to wanton pleasure-seeking. This criticism is embodied in the figure of Christian's bourgeois father, who berates the Bohemian culture for its sinfulness, which seems to be most linked to its failure to be productive. But to the children of the revolution, try to hear Bono crooning the song from the soundtrack, our highest calling is not to simply be producers. Instead, they are committed to the Bohemian ideals of beauty, freedom, truth, and above all, love. And the spectacle of the film is ripe for analysis in terms of Williams's theology of romantic love, a love that is revelatory, that breaks open the world. Never knew I could feel like this, like I never saw the sky before. Christians will tend to say, ah, but that's not love, that's eros, not agape. But a romantic theology refuses the distinction because it recognizes that we are erotic creatures. That agape is rightly ordered eros. And so one could suggest that the kingdom looks more like Montmartre than Colorado Springs. The kingdom might look more like the passionate world of the Moulin Rouge than the staid, buttoned-down, talking-head world of the 700 Club. The end of learning is love. The path of discipleship is romantic. Thick and thin practices, ritual forces of cultural formation. Our desiring model, our romantic theology, has emphasized that we are creatures who love first and foremost. The most basic way that we intend the world is on the effective order of love. This love constitutes our fundamental and governing orientation to the world. As such, our love is always ultimately aimed at telos, a picture of the good life that pulls us toward it, thus shaping our actions and behavior. This orientation is something that comes before thinking. Thus, we've described it as precognitive. It is more at work at the level of the adaptive unconscious or the social imaginary. Our love is aimed from the fulcrum of our desire, the habits that constitute our character or core identity. And the way our love or desire gets aimed in specific directions is through practices that shape, mold, and direct our love. So, as we've suggested, habits, precognitive dispositions, are formed by practices, routines and rituals that inscribe particular ongoing habits into our character such that they become second nature to us. According to research on the new unconscious, such dispositions have a kind of automaticity about them. They are the default tendencies and inclinations that we follow without thinking. They are not the same as mere biological instincts or natural responses to stimuli because they are learned. They are part of our second nature, not the first. But how are such automaticities acquired? Research by Barge and Chartrand shows that the development of most acquired forms of automaticity, that is, skill acquisition, depends on the frequent and consistent pairing of internal responses with external events. As this happens over time, conscious choice drops out as it is not needed. Some such acquisition of automatic dispositions and tendencies happen intentionally, that is, we choose to learn them by frequent and consistent pairing, namely, by practice. We purposefully engage in the considerable practice, frequent and consistent performances required to sublimate many of the components of the skill. Anyone who can remember first learning the piano, learning to type, or learning to drive can recall this process. At first, doing the activity requires great mental conscious energy and focus. Each movement requires intentional conscious choice. But as one continues to engage in the practice over time, gradually more and more becomes sublimated or taken care of by the unconscious. Eventually, one sees the teenager go from being an overwhelmed tangle of nerves at the first attempts to drive a car to soon being able to do so while conversing, tuning, and getting nervous instead over that evening's date. So many automatic dispositions become part of our adaptive unconscious because we consciously intend